My name is Dwayne Harrison. This is my wife, Deborah. Stand up, sweetheart. And this is Joseph. Joshua and Jeremiah is back in the nursery. So we got three boys, so pray for us. Because I'm telling you, it's something. But we're missionaries in West Africa. I'm from Greenville, North Carolina. And I didn't get saved until I was 25 years old. I was raised, I went to church sometimes. I didn't go sometimes. It wasn't important in our home. But when I was about 15 years old, I made the decision that I didn't want to have anything to do with the Lord. And when a man came from Rocky Mountain, I went to the Army, I got out of the Army, and I started working in a Target store. And a man from Rocky Mountain came to our Target store, and he was a Christian. And he started to talk to me about the Lord, and I told him I didn't want to have anything to do with that. I didn't want to hear what he had to say, but he didn't stop. He wasn't ashamed. And he came back and he wrote down Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 on a piece of paper. He said, I feel like the Lord wants me to give you this. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the Lord used that, and the Lord used going to a couple of vacation Bible schools as a young man, and the Lord used all of that to convict my heart that I was a sinner, and God saved me. I was not in church. I would not have gone to church. God saved me, and it wasn't hard to get me in church after that. Amen. I don't understand. If folks can't get into church after they get saved, then they got something different than I had. But how many of you, when I got saved, I went down to Tabernacle Baptist College in Greenville, South Carolina, and while I was down there, how many of you said, I want to be a missionary in Africa one day? Look at all those hands. Praise the Lord, Pastor. I never even crossed my mind about being a missionary. If you're a big name evangelist, you can pack this church. Amen? Say amen. I'm from Eastern North Carolina. You're a big name evangelist, the church will be packed. If you were a good pastor, a good preaching pastor, you would have this church not as packed as a big name evangelist. But if you were a missionary, you would have thought they said leprosy because some people just wouldn't show up for a missionary. So that's the way Eastern North Carolina look at missions. So I adopted that same sentiment towards missions. I said, why in the world would anybody want to be a missionary? I met my wife, Deborah, and the problem was I was going to ask permission to marry her. We were down in Bible college. I met her. God said, that's the one for you. And so I pursued, and my problem was my father-in-law was a missionary in West Africa. And I said, oh, my goodness. I said, well, it's going to be quite a stretch to just go over there. So one of our breaks in Bible college, I went over to ask permission to marry because her parents are from North Carolina, and you're not going to just take somebody's daughter without asking permission. Amen. So I went over there and I asked permission to marry, but while I was there, I saw place after place after place that did not have the gospel. It's not like Eastern North Carolina where you've got church on every corner. There were places that did not have the gospel, that could not hear the gospel. And I was down in Greenville, South Carolina, the home of millions of independent Baptist church. I don't know, it's not millions. There's probably a couple hundred, 200-300 independent Baptist churches within 30 minutes of Greenville, South Carolina. I said, God, I know this can't be it. I said, God, send me somewhere where they can't hear. The Lord started working on my heart about Mali, West Africa. It was after 9/11, and when we heard about all the Muslims and the things about that in that area, I had been in the military, I was in the infantry, and I was ready to throw on camouflage. That's not what God wanted. God, I remember going by, and there was a big map of the world, and I was walking by after we left the Bible Institute that night, and I was walking by, and there was a picture of Africa. Now, I saw Mali, West Africa, and I said, man, I wonder who's there. The Lord started touching my heart about Mali, West Africa. I went and looked it up, and I couldn't find any independent Baptist in that country at that time. There had been some men, but they had left. And so I researched, I found one man that was in the country. I said, a country. Not a county, not a city, not a state, a country. There are countries all around the world that need the gospel. So the Lord touched my heart about going to Mali, West Africa. So Deborah and I went to language school. Somebody from Eastern North Carolina goes up to Canada to learn French to go to Africa. Amen. You figure that out. But see, as you follow the Lord, the Lord's going to lead you in places that you didn't think possible. And the Lord will do things with you that you didn't think he could do. Because where God guides, he will provide. So we can go ahead, brother. Y'all got cameras everywhere. Praise the Lord. We are the Harrison family to West Africa. This is little Jeremiah. He was a cute thing. Now he's into everything. We're sent out of Ballard's Crossroads Baptist Church in Greenville, North Carolina. Pastor Randy Smith, my pastor. And we're helped also by Macedonia World Baptist Missions. In 2007, the Lord led us to work with this man. His name is Numa Anita Francis. He's the national that's in Mali. And so God let us join up with him, and we started to work with him. He had a Bible Institute. There were four men that needed to be trained, and so we started to work with him. We started preaching with him, and Deborah started helping with the Sunday school. And God started to bless, and everything was very, very slow because it is a Muslim country. But God started to bless the work, and as we stayed, we started to help them with more outreaches, and we did a lot of open-air meetings. In 2009, the Lord led Francis and I to start Église Baptiste Fondamentale de Corée. So this is the second work that was started. This is started near the border of Burkina Faso. And we started, we rented a house, and we just bought benches, put it in the house, went out and started witnessing, and God blessed. And this is the second independent Baptist church that was started in that country that we started. In 2012, there was fighting in Mali, and the Lord led our family to leave Mali and go to Ghana. Now, Mali is 95% Muslim, and there's a lot of problems with Islam and Christianity. But when we got down to Ghana, we found every denomination, every cult, if you can think of it, it was there in Ghana. From everything from Islam, which Islam is spreading rapidly in all of West Africa, we left Mali because Al-Qaeda took over the north. We had a coup. They overthrew it, overthrew the country, and there was some undercurrent there. And so we threw everything that we had that we could throw in the back of the pickup truck, and we left. We had to leave pretty quick. But we've gone down to Ghana, West Africa, where there's a lot of different agricultural things. They grow, this is rubber. They have rubber trees and several different things here. If you ever seen how maple syrup's tapped, that's about the same way that rubber's tapped. And God's blessed, and this is a big rubber plantation. God's blessed in this area because we went back to the same area that my father-in-law was in. My father-in-law passed away in 2007. He was in a motorcycle accident, he was in a vehicle accident, and he passed away in 2007. And God led us back to that same area, and we're going to some of the same places that he was at, and trying to reestablish certain things, certain of the churches, and trying to help the churches to become solid and indigenous. There's a great need in all of West Africa, not just Ghana. In our region, the only churches are in the city of Takoradi. But there's village after village after village, and there are cities like this one in Agzim, that do not have the gospel. With all the thousands of people that are in these cities, there's no gospel. They believe if you keep the Ten Commandments and you go to a certain denomination that you're going to go to heaven. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. I get on that motorcycle every Sunday morning, and this is the trip I take to go up to Otavabo. There's a village that's 14 miles up one way, up in the mountains. I take the motorcycle, I'll go up there, and I'll get to go around, and I'll visit our people that are in the bush, and I'll talk to them and try to encourage them and try to spend some time with them on Sunday morning before church. Our people are all farmers, so you can see them on Sunday, and that's the only time you get to see them, because otherwise they're out on the farm and they're getting with it. This is our church. The lady in the middle is a midwife. She's the one responsible for all everybody up on that mountain that's about 30 years and younger. She's the one that delivered them. Ladies will walk up there about a couple of days before they deliver. They'll deliver and walk home about the day after they deliver. The ladies in Africa are pretty tough. The teen night on this is another independent Baptist church that's in our area. The Lord led us to start a teen night with the teenagers that were in that church. And God blessed, and we started with the teenagers. And as they were getting more and more involved in the church, we were teaching them how to do different things, giving them responsibilities, so that one day that they'll be able to take ownership of their church. This is the building that we started to build with them. We all got together and dug the foundation. But the people came in, they helped, they gave, and the Lord blessed, and we got up to a little bit higher than what you saw in that picture. But the people would go and they would help with the dirt, and they would take it, and they would help us backfill in their church building. Each one of them would come, or most of them would come on a Saturday, on a work day. They would come and we'd get together and have fun. We'd work together for God's glory, and God blessed it, and so the people are taking ownership of the church. This is Joseph. We do believe in child labor. If he wants to eat, he's going to have to work. So we're trying to strengthen him up and give him some muscles. But the Lord's blessed, and we've seen God do some things in this area. We're helping to make this teacher to make her house. She's making a mud brick house, so we're stomping the mud and making a house. And Deborah was given the opportunity to work in a Christian school that was there. She was working with her sister, who was also there at the time. And so they were working in the Christian school together. And this was a great way in order to take these young people and put the gospel into their hearts and into their minds. But several years ago, the Lord led my father-in-law to start a church in the Ivory Coast. My father-in-law started out in Ghana, went to the Ivory Coast for about 16 years and went back to Ghana. But while he was in the Ivory Coast, he planted this church. It was the Église Baptiste Fondamentaliste de Grand-Bassam. So the Lord allowed him to start this church. This man was saved onto this ministry, grew up in this ministry. He's the pastor of the church, very intelligent man, very smart man. He is without a doubt a well-educated man, and God's really blessing this work, and the church is about to have to build a bigger building because God is blessed. This is the teens from two different churches combined, and the teens got together for a teen camp. The Lord allowed me to be involved in that. But the Ivory Coast is another country in West Africa that it's in desperate need. They had some internal fighting, and many of the missionaries have left, and hardly anybody's gone back. That I know of, there's only maybe two or three independent Baptist missionaries left in the Ivory Coast. People are leaving West Africa, but very few are going to West Africa. Pray for us as we go back. We're going to try to see what we can't do in helping Ivory Coast and going back to Ghana and see what God won't lead us to do. But West Africa is in desperate need for missionaries. We're in desperate need for missionaries. And so pray for us as we go back. We're going to see what God's going to have us to do. I'm going to be going to the Ivory Coast some and helping them with some evangelism. That church is about to start another work. This national is on fire for the Lord, and all we're going to do is get behind him and push him. I can open my mouth. I can give out the gospel in French, and by the grace of God, that's what I'm going to do. We're just going to go there. He's doing a great job. They're getting ready to start a Bible Institute out of that church, and they're doing more. They've prolonged it. This hadn't died. When my father-in-law died, the work didn't die, but it went forward, and it's gone past what he did. These men are, they're on fire for the Lord. So pray for us. We're going to go back to Ghana. We're going to be doing a little bit in the Ivory Coast. And by the grace of God, I'd like to do some things in Burkina Faso. There's a place in Burkina Faso I would really love to see God work. There's a need in West Africa. Not necessarily for money, but for men. And we need men. We need men that are willing to take the gospel and go and follow God. To leave North Carolina and follow God wherever he would want them to go. 360 some countries in this world, how you know you're supposed to be here? We think, man, I'm from North Carolina. God can't use anybody from North Carolina. Here I am. I'm grown here. You like North Carolina? Yes, I love North Carolina. But not more than I love the Lord. Sooner or later, folks are going to have to make a decision between God and between the other things.